You ever think about this I sometimes I go down the road from where we live in Alabama, and it's about 8 miles to a grocery store and to the bank and to the library. It's all about 8 miles. And that just about, that is our world. From our house to there, and that is the world. But I have found out since I had this stroke, I find out, go down that road, down and back, and I can talk to the Lord. And I find out, I can see Him then. Why should I be disturbed? And why should the billows roll? Why should my heart? Why should my heart? And long for heaven and come. For Jesus is my portion.
Yes.
He's in my constant friend, you see. Ah, listen. Because his eye is on the sparrow, and I know, yes, I know that he watches me. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on me. And then I say, why should I be discouraged? And I say, because his eye is on that sparrow, and I know he watches me. And then I sing. I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on that sparrow. And I know he watches me. Oh, isn't it good to have song in your heart? And to know that you are free.
Yes.
I stand today before you in the liberty wherewith he has made me
free.
Free.
Yes.
Amen. Can you imagine people that are not happy with Christ? Their salvation. We used to say it, and it may be true. Maybe they just didn't get it. You know, that's not very nice. But it's just possible it didn't. You've heard it, haven't you, Cecil? Maybe you didn't take. That's right. Exactly. God, His church, no Christ church in this place. You didn't get it here. But that you do know that you know when you're free, still free, don't you? You know love when you experience it, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is good. But I remember when I first met the lover of my soul. When I met the Savior. And I found it put a soul in my heart. And I found out when I met that Savior, He became the lover of my soul. Can't you know? I mean, just this morning with Brother Mike, and then, you know, I almost did this. And you have to understand that I'm pretty, you never quite know what I'm going to do next. Is that a fair statement? I try to be fair to myself, too. You know, that you just never know, Brother Mike, what I might do next. I'm sure that Bobby Ann and Cecil probably remember over there, and probably Carolyn and Lonnie. Let me see who else might have been out there. The children, of course. The Sunday that Mike, they come home. I mean, they come to church there in the morning. And there's a big target painted in the parking lot. Do you remember that? This is
yeah,
a target. Got
James out to get the tree down.
Because this crazy guy. They got up here not knowing whatever he's going to do. He's telling them that if we get this Sunday school wherever, I don't remember, but if we ever do it, this crazy guy is going to jump out of an airplane and land on that target. This morning, I thought to myself, I need to go to Ronnie and say, Ronnie, what about if you change this service up a little bit and let Brother Artis take my place at the end and let me go first, because to begin and set the tone for the conference. And I said, it'd be right if you do that. Well, actually, the conference, we did that. Because the truth is, the conference has been closing, or closed, or over. We're just here now because we want to be. Is that not true? See, I'm here because I want to be. You know, I look out there and I think you too. You here because you want to be. There ain't nobody holding you. Oh, come back. No. But listen, you know, my love, I'm still trying to settle down. But you know about love. You know that pretty little lady who sits there by you, or that handsome looking man who sits next to you. You say, oh, I am so in love with him. Oh, I love her. Do you know when the sun goes down? Do you know there's only one reason? I don't care if you're married or not married. There's only one reason on God's earth that you've got to go home. Did you know that? You can't go down to the Sarah's office and say, my husband didn't come home, I want you to go get him. Or my wife, she didn't come home for 2 days. She's hanging down there, I want you to go get her. And the sheriff said, I can't do that. You know, there's only one reason that you come home. It's because of love. Because of love. I show up because I love my wife. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? So I have not a bit of fear to say this conference is over, you can go. Because you know I've got something else I want to say. And I ain't worried about it because I don't think you're going to do it. At least you want to hear it. Because you don't want it to end over either. And maybe because you love the saints. And you love his word, and I'm going to have something to say before we get out of here. But there are about, I don't know how many, maybe about 6 things I want to do, for sure. One thing we're going to do right now, I thought last night, with the folk who gave their testimonies. I thought that was grace. Did you not think? Yeah. I thought it was it always. But I kept saying to myself, you know, there is one lady that should have testified there. And didn't. And then I thought about it and I said, I asked her why. And then I went further. I said, I'll tell you what. I know what you're doing. You want to be heard today. And so I asked my precious, sweet, lovely wife if she would stand up and open her mouth and tell you when she was saved and when she saw the truth of the mystery. Mary Catherine. Would you tell us? They're big and loud now, like you do at home. Washing machine on Monday morning.
there he was. There were no words exchanged, just this glorious presence. And I knew that he was mine and I was his. There were a lot of things happened after that, but always that presence was there with me. And I can't say all this. I'm not a speaker like this. I've been in a Baptist church, so I've never been. But that was the most glorious thing. And shortly after that, a friend dropped by. And I was in a state of euphoria, really. And I tried to explain to her what had happened and how it felt. She must have thought I was on something because she didn't hang around very well. But from that time on, I could not do enough. I didn't wait to be called, and I was looking for something to do in that respect and to serve all that time. And if you've ever been to the Baptist church, there's always plenty to do. So I was busy, busy, busy for the next 30 years. But then, you know, my children were grown. They had gone their way. And some of the people that the girls that I had taught in the Sunday school class, they were doing the same. But it was a great life. It was a great life. But then, I always felt there's something else. There's something else. Wasn't unhappy. Just happy as I could be, but I was waiting for this something else. And after I had come to the end of that service, if you want to call it that part of my life, there was a Bible study in my home with certain just the friends and people that be there and they come to know outside of that church. But this meeting was around my table. All of us sitting there, and I found what I had been missing. I became aware then of the fulfillment that was mine and what I had been looking for, and from then on, oh, it's just been great. It's just been great. I could stand here and preach like some of these people for 2 hours. Well, you can hear me. But it's just been wonderful. And then with that realization and that awakening, there came a certain freedom. Did you feel that? There is a certain freedom once you find that light and that awakening and that gift you find. There's a freedom there, and you're not bound by any rules, regulations, and programs. There is the freedom that comes. Now, there's a lot of things I could say, but to her, all this good preaching and elaboration and all these learned men, I can't quote a lot of scripture to you, but it's here. But you've heard that. So now you're just hearing this from just the love simple me, who is so happy in the light of what she knows and what has been given. And coming here this year, last year, and the people that I have known, you have added to that. Please, when you go away from here, don't remember the evaluation of what I have said. Just remember the basic meaning and what I have, and we're so thankful for you all. I love you all.
I was around that the table, so I know who were there. And I understand when the lights went on. You know about that, don't you? About when all of a sudden, it makes perfect sense to my faith. That I have just realized that I have been raised with Jesus Christ the Lord, and have been seated with him in heavenly places, far above all. I've just been made in him a member of his church, the body of Christ. I got to see that occurrence, that event, with my wife. Ooh, that was good. Now, what are you going to do next? Well, I thought about that too. I don't always think too far ahead, but I did think about this. Now I want to share something on my heart right now. First conference that I ever went to was in Mobile, Alabama. That's some great conferences. Really did. That's back when Nathan Scharf was with us. You remember him? Oh, I used to love to listen to that man. And Tom Ballinger, just a marvelous speaker of the word. But I always came from where there, and I say, you know, I just wish that the speakers had more time. I mean, individually, all of them wish they had more. And I look at the conference schedule, and I see that Brother Artis, Brother Mike, and I'm only guessing there, but didn't you enjoy Brother Mike? He has that way about him that you got to love him. That's right. But I look down there at the conference schedule and I see Brother Artis and Brother Mike and myself. We hear two times. It doesn't seem fair that we get to speak two times. And there's about, five or six.
Then we have another day.
Others. What I have done is this. I have gone to each one and I say, look, you didn't get a second time like I did. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes of my time. That's right, for rebuttal. Or if there is something that you did not get to say when you were up here, you're going to get your chance. But I am going to pull the plug on you at the end of 5 minutes. Okay? I got the hook. And so we're going to start with Brother Bob. Yes, Pete, was that there?
I have an airplane to catch.
Oh, do you?
Can I go first?
Mike? Bob, that'd be okay?
Not a problem.
Okay, but we don't want to keep you from leaving.
I got 50, yeah, I got one of those too.
Come on, then. The reason he told you that, because he knows he got to be leaving, and he didn't want to be one who said, I don't want you to think he doesn't want to stay.
I want to be here. I'm good at mini lessons, and this is a mini lesson. And it ends with something that we talked about here. Three times we've covered the armor in Ephesians 6. And there's something about that I would like to make sure that everybody understands. And I, sometimes at the Bible Forum, I end up having to teach English. And it's to renew my own English as well. In the English language, there is what is called a parentheses, and a parabola. Do you know the difference between a parenthesis and a parabola? A parenthesis is an incomplete sentence. It does not have a subject and a verb. It can have one or the other, but it's incomplete in its thought. A parabola, on the other hand, is a parenthesis that has within it a subject and a verb. It's complete sentences in itself. In the book of Ephesians, I will give you an illustration of a parabola first. In the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul starts off, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And then he has a tick of the mind. Something changes within him. And he begins to say, "I need to say something else." And so we have, beginning in verse 2, the beginning of a parabola. "If ye have heard of this dispensation of the grace which is given to me," and he starts to talk about something else, and it goes all the way through verse 13. And when he gets to verse 14, he starts in where he was again. He says, "For this cause," the same cause that he talked about in verse 1. That is a parenthesis that is a parabola. Now, if you want to see just a parenthesis that is a parenthesis, turn over to chapter 6, verse 12. In the middle of that verse is a parenthesis. The first part of that is after the word blood. It's where the parenthesis begins. And it ends at the word world. So I'm going to read the verse without the parentheses, and that's part of English. You can leave out the parentheses and it still makes sense. So here I read the verse without the parentheses. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now go back and read the parentheses, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world." That's what we wrestle against. The flesh and blood. Not every believer is capable of donning this armor. It is those of us who have come to a knowledge of the mystery. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why? Because he cannot even be there in the presence of him, of the Most High. But what we do wrestle against is the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Oscar Baker told me one time, he said, "If you could see what's walking around outside this building, you'd be scared to death." And I wanted to make sure that each of you understand that verse, because we covered it three times, and I don't know that that was really brought out. And that's my mini lesson in English, and I thank you. And we do have to run and catch an airplane, and I thank you.
Come on, you can be next. Anybody yet? You're going to hurt their neck before they go. You better be doing it. He did that in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did an extra minute or two.
Oh, Bob's marking time.
Go ahead, Bob. They listen to you.
Okay.
Anybody else got the plate they got to catch? Okay.
There's just a couple points that I made yesterday that, like Larry said, if I'd had a little more time, I would have talked about it. Turn to page 949. By the way, I don't like to get emotional. And I don't do it very often. But I've been I've been touched at this conference at least three or four, five, six or seven times where I've been moved to tears. Just thinking about how much God loves me and you all. And so, I truly believe that God speaks through us, through His Spirit, and it's our responsibility to do it as best we can, telling the truth. So I made a comment about God creating Lucifer. I want to go to chapter 14 of Isaiah. I need to turn there myself, 949. I want to read 12 to 15. He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" I've had discussions with people about Judas Iscariot. I've challenged them to find something that the Lord has said in a positive way about Judas. I can't find it. He is saying positive things about Lucifer. We have this testimony. He's calling him the son of morning. "How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." I'm thinking, who does this angel think he is? As I'm reading this. He just doesn't know and doesn't understand our Savior. He doesn't know our Lord. He would never do this. This wouldn't be in his heart. He just can't believe the truth. So he goes on to say, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And obviously he thinks he's qualified to do that because he's looked in the mirror and seen that he's wise and he's beautiful and he thinks he can do the job. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." There's some people say they don't believe in hell. I believe in hell, but I just think hell's the grave. And he's going to be destroyed. That's the end of it. So he goes on to say, "To the sides of the pit, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms?" And he's going to do that in the millennial, or in that tribulation period, just prior to the millennium. He's going to cause that. He's going to cause people to bow and worship him and accept him as God. He's going to sit in the temple that's being built for God and say, "Hey, I'm God." And they're going to say, "We're going to worship this man. He's great." Then we know later, and we're not going to read in that because we did cover that yesterday, he falls. This is a kind of recording of that falling. And we see his end here. But what I want to say is God did not create him to be Satan. God created him to be Lucifer. Amen. He took this upon himself. Amen. Now I want to go to Philippians 3. This is what it's all about. This is what the conference is all about. Even though love is what it's all about. When it really comes right down to it, Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." And if you remember, what I was talking about was the word spiritual. And I said that's a power that has been given to us to enable us to be able to do the job. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." He asked the question, how much power did it take? Whatever it was sufficient for him to get out of that grave. "And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Don't we all feel that way? Don't we want to follow through with what the Lord has given us. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, or have this attitude. And if anything be you otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. And the gist of that is we don't have to worry about whether people receive this or not. God will show it to them. If He's chosen them, if they're elected, they're going to see it just like that lady testified just a few minutes ago. After 30 years of being a believer in Jesus Christ, this truth came. She accepted it immediately. She knew that's what she'd been looking for. And each one of us, that's happened to us. Maybe not as quite as dramatic as hers, but it's happened. And so it's God's responsibility to do that. Finally, I want to close Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 10. By the way, I said you guys have moved me. Really, it was the Lord that moved in me. Just through what you have said. When you've talked about this love. So he says in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing. And I'm thinking, why shouldn't we? After what He's done for us. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. I'm thinking this is spiritual. This is that scripture, the spiritual power that I was talking about yesterday. This is it. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. And by the way, it was said that God is silent. Well, He's not silent in my life. He's alive in me. And He may not be speaking to the nations, but He's speaking to me. So he goes on to say, in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, into all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified. I don't know how He did it. I look at Mike and I'm saying, how could he make Mike qualified? But He is. I'm assured that He is. The Scripture says that He is. So I believe it. I believe Mike is qualified. And he goes on to say, He's made us meeter to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in, and I think we really need the adjective the. It's the light. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Again, that's I can compare, God compared the good with the evil. And darkness with light. It says He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Praise God. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. I talked about that scriptural blessings that we have. It's invisible to us now. I think eventually we're going to see, just like we see God working in each of us. He says that He is the... For by Him were all these things created. And I've just inserted that word thee, but when we see that word panta and it's everything without exception, that's really not the case. It's always in the context that tells you what these all things are. So he says, for by Him were all things created, the things that are in heaven, things that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And you know, He's worthy. He's worthy. And He is before all things. That means He has the preeminence in all things. And by Him all these things consist. He holds them all together. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence, the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. I don't understand this, but I'm going to tell you. We are part of His fullness. I don't know how we add anything to God. I really don't. But it says that we are part of His fullness. So that would mean to me, if we weren't, then he's not full. And so I think he's waiting on us. Jack doesn't agree with me, but that's fine. I think it's already happened. I think we're already part of his fullness. That's true. There's no doubt about that. No one has the power to stop him in his plans and purposes. They will get there. Whatever he's designed it. That doesn't change the fact that we're part of it. And that's all I was saying. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all these things and to himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Thank you.
All right, so when my son-in-law comes, y'all stand up again. I'm going to try and keep you awake because we're going to be out of here by 4:00. No. I just tease. But if you want to take you right now, if you want fresh coffee or something, if there is some, if you want to go, go. But Tony going to come. I had to do this before I got you up, because he'd be out the door because he didn't have time to know this.
That's just lucky too. That's just lucky. But I was still in prayer. Constantly. Continually. There was one prayer I didn't get to do. That we lead by example. You know, Paul is our example in prayer. That's where we get our prayers. His example we learn from. We pray like him, and I know the Lord hears our prayers, and I know the Lord will answer them if it's in his will. Wherefore, Ephesians 3:13. I'll start there and read that prayer. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. We're talking about the tribulations that he suffered in Colossians. Remember that? Man, that was awesome. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by the church in Jesus Christ, through all ages, world without end. Amen. That is our model prayer, guys. That says it all. He works it through us. I love the Lord. I love y'all more than you know. And I'm not a speaker. The Lord's holding me up here. It seems like I can't talk without crying. I don't know why. But I just love the Lord. I love the message. I love what it's done for me. I love y'all. Thank you.
Amen. Don't you hope he never loses the tears? Amen.
help you keep this talking and crying from now on. Okay, Brother Jack, we're going to let you come next. And then behind him will be Brother Cecil. Now, I haven't had to yank anybody's chain yet.
Oh,
yeah,
you yanked
in
mine.
You think I might be yanking his before he got here?
I told you no when you said that.
Oh.
I said you should finish it yourself.
Oh, I will.
Well.
I will. I get to say amen.
Yeah, you made me think that we were all taking your place.
No.
Well, all right.
Not
that all. Makes it different.
But you get 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my watch doesn't keep very good time sometimes. I just press a little button on the side and it gives different time.
Go ahead, brother.
Bob, you said something like the Pleroma, we were the fullness, and if we didn't fill it up, it wouldn't be full. And that's when I nodded my head. But I didn't even know it was nodding my head until you said But that's what I was thinking. It will, as you said, too. It will be full because it's God's purpose.
I think we agree.
Right, yeah.
I think so.
We did.
Yes, but
I didn't want you to get the wrong idea.
He was nodding his head because he was sleeping.
Oh. Well, anyway, you know, this is our probationary place, the earth, and life is our probationary existence, that is physical life. Now, spiritual and physical are two totally different worlds, yet they coexist here now. And the comment that Bob made a while ago about Oscar and telling you what he told you, I remember hearing about that. I don't know whether he's written that or what, but that is absolutely true. And I've thought of that a lot of times, and we need to think about it more. Like, you can sit there and be thinking and feeling just the same as you normally would, yet all around you, spiritual things are occurring. And some are good and some are bad. I mean, after all, we're not the only beings here, you know. Probably more of the other kinds of beings than there are of us. And also the variety of those beings is fantastic and unimaginable. We only know of a few of them that are mentioned in the scriptures. And, of course, you could speculate, and that's not necessarily good. But on the other hand, it's good to have an open heart and be in prayer about these potentialities and so forth. Well, in Romans 8, there's a couple things there that stand out to me from time to time, and I think are maybe just not quite pointed up enough. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts, and who is that he? It's the Holy Spirit. He calls him the Spirit here because he makes intercession for the saints. How?
According to
the will of God. Right. The Holy Spirit has sealed us, and he is with us, and he doesn't want glory because he glorifies the Son and the Father. The Holy Spirit is always in the background, but he's still all God. He's one of the persons of the Trinity. Now notice, there is no split in them ever at all. And the point here is, whatever he does and however he speaks and however he intercedes for us, the Spirit, it is according to the will of God. And that's what his purpose is. And that's what our purpose is, if you think about it. I had a friend of mine, and we were hot and heavy discussing something. A very close friend, and we do this sometimes on the rare occasions when we get together. And I have great respect for him, and he's a very accomplished person. And we were going hot and heavy about something, and it was more like business or finances or something like that. And I said, "Well, after all, George, what are we here for anyway?" And he says, "For the glory of God."
Amen. That's
right. Boy, I said, now that's when I bust a tear. Because I remembered the time when he wouldn't say, way back. But I said, "George, you made my day." Because that's why we're here, for one purpose, glorify God. And it doesn't matter, you know, how we feel about it. And it doesn't matter how other people feel about it. It matters, is God pleased? Notice 2 Timothy 2. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Dokimos, approved unto God. You know, well, you know, I don't know what this guy's going to think if I say this and he says that. All right, cut through all that. Approved unto God. Would God approve of what I'm doing? Would God approve of what I'm thinking? Does God approve? Am I pleasing Him? And then if it consummates His glory.
Amen.
And we have been successful. That's the only success that you will ever know as a body member. Well, how can you do that? I mean, I'm just a poor housewife. I can't do that. I'm here with my hands full of soap and a sink full of dirty dishes. How can I please God? Clean them up. Guess what? If you do it for His glory, you will have reward. But nobody will ever know it. He knows it. That's the one that counts. Well, I'm just a street sweeper. I don't even have any education. Okay, I don't care. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that He's your Savior? You know you're in the body? Sweep the street for Him and get glory to God for your job. Boy, this guy really cleans a lot different than that one over there. Why? Well, he's some kind of a Christian nut. Oh, that's great. Reminds me of a fellow I used to know. I know of him. They call him Mumbles. Couldn't talk. Why? He knew what he was saying, but no one else did. But you know, he had a life in the Lord, and he did try to bring glory to God in his very poor way. And people recognized that. It's just something different about Mumbles. Whenever you can get anything out of him, it's something about God. And he seemed to smile. So, folks, praise God. Well, I'll tell you what. That lady back there, those ladies back there, they have a lot of things that they can do to glorify God, and they've probably been doing it today. And you don't think, if somebody doesn't think that's glorifying God? It is. Amen. You did it for Him, didn't you? Say, thank God for giving me the strength. And that fella too, I understand he does it too. I didn't want to let you out, boy. I tell you, that's great. Well, you know, it doesn't matter whether people recognize you. But it matters, and God does recognize you. And He knows what you're doing for His glory. And I don't care what it is. There's no job too lowly. That's all earthly terms, lowly, highly. What do they know? Get some muckety-muck bishop up here with some high hat. That doesn't mean anything. He can't glorify God with that nonsense. But he's religious. Well, he's right about it. What he calls them houses of ill repute. Well, I'm sure Christ felt that way in that temple back that time. When he went in there and cleaned it up, didn't he? That was a house of ill repute. And if the people are not godly, and if the and a lot of them are controlled by weird stuff that we wouldn't want to even think of today. And I'd like to tell you the record of some of those religious outfits some days, but you wouldn't believe me, you'd get mad and stone me. But anyway, thank you for all your fellowship and for the experience that you've given here. I thought he was coming up here to drive me away. He was just said, he just you said, I can have another 5 minutes. Well,
Brother Jack, you know why I'm up there.
He thought you were sneaking up on him with a book.
I'm a lot like a little, what are those egg timers? You know, the hourglass. Yeah. That's a little bit like that. I start back there and it's 5 minutes.
But you're good.
Oh. Say so. All right, Brother Cecil. The reason I've asked Cecil to come last, okay, is because he's really the senior one here. Not so by age. I didn't point out that my lovely wife back there is probably the senior one. She is 87 years. Thank you. But I was here for a season in the time here. But the one who lived here across the road where he started, down the road he lives, these are the folks that he has nurtured over the years. Cecil is the one who he and the Carl that stayed behind and began to give out the word of God rightly divided. And so I kept Cecil for the end because of that. And secondly, because he knows what it means when he hears me coming from behind him.
You now know what it's like to be one step behind. And I certainly thank all of you for coming. I know what it is to go somewhere to a meeting or a conference and to take part in it, and I certainly enjoyed it. And I look at your faces and I realize that you enjoy coming here. And we certainly want to make it a joy and hope that you feel the love that we have for one another. And that we portray that love and that we show that love to others in this community, in this place, because I think this is where God has allowed me to have a testimony here. And it's not only just by and through His Word, which certainly that is the most important thing, but also the with the knowledge and the understanding and the togetherness of a community, because you know, we don't live in isolation. We live one with the other. And this is what a body is, by the way. You know, a body is an accumulation of different ones. And certainly if we're part of the body of Christ, then we should display that in all aspects of our life, not just where we worship, but when we meet, greet, and be with people all of our times and other places and other things. And this is what I want to do. You know, I sat back there and thought about this deal with Brother Larry and the bullseye over on the church parking lot in at Wolfstake. And he said if we would get 150 over there in Sunday school, that he would jump out of an airplane. And everybody was over there working, and he got out and painted a bullseye. Well, there was a tree in the way over there. You know, I thought it'd probably take a pretty good nut to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And not only that, there was a tree in the way. And then talking with Brother Larry in some of these chimney corner meetings that we had, that's a little joke within the community, but that's what they call us when we were learning about the truth of the mystery. But he had some sort of feeling, and I'm going to tell on him a little bit. He had some sort of a feeling like that he wasn't going to live to be 50 years old. And after I saw some of the pranks that he was pulling, I said, yeah, I can agree with that. But I guess that there's something that I wanted to say. I took the theme of what I was hoping to say from the aspect of Christ being our Redeemer. And you know, an unsaved person doesn't feel like he needs anything else. So a Redeemer to the unsaved world is a very important thing, whether he understands it or not. And I made the little analogy to Uncle Ernie in the advertisement last night, because Uncle Ernie had the symptoms. He had the symptoms before of eating something bad before he ever ate it. You see, we have the symptoms, and we came here with the symptoms of sin before we ever really had sin. As a baby, we were born in sin, and we came here with the symptoms, and with, if you need this salvation from this, then there must be a price paid. There is always a need for a price paid. Anything that you acquire constitutes a price, and you have to pay the price if you get it. Well, you know, when I went to Psalms 49, the understanding there was that man could not pay a price for himself or for his brother. And that only the Son of God could pay that price. And the Son of God came in the evil day, and they took him, and he paid that price. It is sad that many people never come to the understanding and to recognize that very fact. that Christ paid that price for you and me. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Colossians 3 for just a minute, and then I'm done. Because I want to read four verses of scripture that Brother Larry read at Carl Hansen's funeral. And Carl was a good friend of mine and my family, and he helped me raise my children. And I cannot tell you how much I miss him. Because when I went to God's Word, and I would get in God's Word, and sometimes I'd kind of get it balled up and get it wound up. It wouldn't take but just a minute being with Carl that he'd get the string straightened out. And a lot of times we need somebody like that. You know, a sounding board. I so admire people who don't have anybody to study with. That they get it and they keep the string straight, because it's so easy to get it all balled up. You know, a string that's all balled up is no good to anybody. And Carl was that kind of an individual. And for me, he was kind of my Paul, you know. That's kind of the way I look at that. But to leave you with this concerning the Redeemer. I know if you go back to 20, it says, wherefore if you be dead with Christ. So there's an identification with Christ's death. And you know, death is pretty permanent. It's a permanent thing without some way out. That's it. It's a permanent thing. But you know, if you look at chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, if then, and of course this if again is one of these things where it can or cannot be, you know. It says, if then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And then he goes on to make it specific. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, because he reached down in the grave and he raised him up. He gave him that glory back. After he had emptied himself, oh, he got it back. And he seated him at his own right hand. Set your affection. You know, all of these senses that we talked about a little bit last night, everything that we have, sight, ears, smell, taste, tongue, speaking, all these things that we have and have acquired, this is your affections. This is how we deal with one another. You take a little baby, he knows his mother from anybody else, because he or she, the little baby, can do all these things to know his mother. That's how he knows his mother. That, you know, things that we just kind of take for granted. But that's the child's affection for mom. He knows who mom is. And that's how we need to be with Christ. We need to know who Christ is in our life. How else are we going to be a testimony for him if we don't know him? You can't stand up for somebody. It doesn't do any good to stand up for somebody that you don't know and you don't have a relationship with, but certainly we have this relationship with Christ. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, he's already looked, and he knows, he's seen that body already. The filling is what's left, you see. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. And that's true as what had been said before. Doesn't matter if you're walking around, it doesn't matter if you're in the dirt. When it comes time for that appearing, when it comes time for it to take place, and I don't know any more glorious hope that one could have than to be able to say that when he appears, that when he shows himself again, that I'm going to be there. I'm going to be part of it. I cannot see anybody, anywhere, at any time, that would reject that kind of a hope or an inheritance. I just cannot believe that somebody would turn that down in hopes of something else. That is worse than jumping out of an airplane with a parachute going to land on a bullseye.
Got it even close to my time yet? You can tell that I'm really worried about it. Okay. I've got to, by my watch, I've got 5 minutes after one. And I think I'm over at 12:30. So, can someone do quick math for me? When the next, how long till next 12 arrives here?
How long till what?
Till the next 12:30 arrives here.
Oh, it's got to 12:30.
That's okay. All right, I want to give you just about three scriptures, okay? Because I think I can pretty well sum up my life and my hope experience, inheritance, what I'm looking for, that's ahead of me. I think I can do it within about three scriptures. The first thing is, I was at 12 years old, at 6 years of age, God came to me. I don't know how God comes to me, or to you. I don't know. I know what the Old Testament said. He came in the still small voice. And at 6 years of age, he said to me, call me by name. I was down away from my house a little bit. I had a little New Testament. You remember those? When the Gideons used to give them out in schools. And I had that, and God said to me, call me by name. Only my mama does that. Lawrence, you go preach my word. Got a problem with that? No one's saved yet. At 12 years of age, I got saved. Everybody knows my father, right? Said I never lays eyes on here. In my life. I know you didn't. But you've seen others like him. He was known as the town of a drunk. He was as far from God as you could ever be. As a matter of fact, the night that my father got saved, he picked up, and when I say saved,
I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the real salvation, where God has saved him not only from himself and from sin, but saved him from the death and passed him unto life through Jesus Christ. But then that night, before he got to the place of quote-unquote saved, he picked up that beer from off of the bar and about to drink it. Do you ever believe that the Holy Spirit of God teaches, speaks to you? Is that what we now have testified to? My father picked up the beer and he said, son, God spoke to me and said, Art Dyer, if you drink that beer, you be a dead man by morning. You believe that? My father said, I put the beer down on the bar. He said, I got up and I went to the end. I got out the farm, the friends, he said, I went and bid them all goodbye. Said to Nubby, the bartender, said Nubby goodbye. And he said, you mean good night, don't you, Art? He said, Nubby, I say goodbye. I'll not be back. Got home, and there were faithful saints at 1 o'clock in the morning, up on their knees in prayer, saying, God save this man. And he got saved that night, and you know what? Because he did. I come along and I said, I believe too. I'm 12 years old, but I've got to, what I got to know? I know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You believe that? Now I got to tell you the truth. Most people don't be afraid about this. They look more at the front side of John 3. You know, at the front side, that's the gift. But at 12, you know what I was afraid of? I was afraid of the back side of the 3:16. Have you ever thought what that is? The backside of John 3:16 is, they shall perish. You know what the word to perish is? As from the Greek, that's apollonia, apollonia. And you know what it means? One of the strongest words you got in the Greek. It means gone beyond the recall. God who just spoke and worlds begin to revolve and spin. Almighty God that can create all of this and can just say it with a word. When you reject his son, Jesus Christ, look it out, forget it, because God can't reach back there ever and call you back. That's what it means to be lost, folks. That's what it means to reject Christ. That's what it means to bypass the gift of God in favor of perishing. Anybody you know want to perish? I didn't. And so I trusted Christ. I found out later about Psalm 1. You know what I found about Psalm 1? I found out people who perish, they're never going to stand up in the congregation of the righteous. God has reservation, has resurrection and life reserved only for those who grab Christ. And to perish without Him, they will never stand up in God's resurrections. Don't you ever forget it. You may not agree with it, but you can honestly know that I said to you, if you have perished without God and Christ, you have perished to where God can never call you back, and He will never give you life in any form. Yeah, I found that out. Oh, there's a lot of other things in my mind, and about my life. But you know what? I'm not going to preach that today. I don't have time. These other people took all my time.
That's right.
You knew I was going to do that, didn't you, Mike? But I want to leave you with one last verse. Okay. Just this morning, my son-in-law Tony, that you call him, I think, Robert. I call him Tony. My daughter tries to call him in time for dinner. Okay. But he said to me, How'd you find out about the mystery? I wish I had time for everyone to just talk with you and say, how did you find this glorious truth? You said, how'd you know that? How'd you find it out? I tell you this story quickly. You turn over to Ephesians 2. And Colossians 3 was my COVID closing point of verse. But four of these preachers have hammered it all day long. So I had to go back and redo all these notes that I had down. That was a simple job for me to do. And so I brought it in Ephesians 2. You know that story. I mean, you know three. Man said to me one day, I may have told you this, I don't know, but I'm going to make it, I promise, Rodney, very close, very quick. Man said to me one day, we're having a conversation, I said to him, hey, Ralph, why don't you come down to my church and listen to me preach? Oh, yeah. I know about preachers and the big heads and the egos. I don't know about that. I said, man, you're only up here teaching a Bible school or a class. You need to come down there and listen to me speak. And he said, I'll tell you what I do. He said, if you preach a message on Ephesians 3, 8, and 9, I will come and hear you. Well, that was on a Saturday, and I said to Ralph, I said, I'll tell you what, you come down there tomorrow, I speak it, I preach it. And so I went home that afternoon, and I said, what was he talking about? And I need to open the Bible and see. I don't know if you've ever done this or not. I opened that Bible and it said this. Unto me who am less than the least of saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which has been from the beginning of the ages been hidden in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. I said, what is this? I didn't know there'd be such a thing as a mystery. What is he talking about? And I'm supposed to preach it? Didn't even know there'd be such. Now here's what you may not know, at least at that time. If you had some of the super duper refined, up to date commentaries, you know what I'm talking about. The talking heads, the smart guys, the wise guys, like, can't even think of one of them that I had. But I had a bunch of them. I said, okay. So I break them down, and I look at Ephesians 3 to find out what they had to say. And they make a commentary on Ephesians 3, 4, 5, 6. And Ephesians 4, and then I said, Matthew Henry, ESCI Scoping, they want to make a comment about this mystery. What is it? Because they don't know it, they can't talk about it. So I go that evening, and I said to him, Ralph, I've got to talk to you. He's got this sort of like a mic. You get that smirky kid. And he said, I said, okay. I said, I don't need you to come to church tomorrow to do that. Yeah. I said, what is this? What are you talking about? What do it mean? And he said, you really want to know? And I said, I've got to know. He said, open the book. I said, I've been in the study all afternoon. I've been opening the books. What do you mean? He said, open the book. The book. And from that place, then God began to deal with me, because I found out, guess what? Same thing you did. That God had already chosen me like he's chosen you before the foundations of the world. He called my name and puts me into that church. His Christ, his beautiful son, I am placed there as a member in the glory, now and forever. Whew. And you and I don't even have to tell you about it, because you know when it happened for you. And that changed my life, and it changed might minister. That's really, Ran, all I got to say at this point. Everybody waiting
for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know you close. Yes, because they know you close it out. I want to say just one thing very honestly. We're home folk right now here. I just want to say, come on. I just want to say thank you. Love you. Thank you for being so gracious to me.
Thank you.
I'm going to snag you before we jump up and get comfortable. We'll go ahead and close the conference out. But I want you to turn with me, if you would, for just a minute, to the book of 2 Timothy. It's difficult to add to what I've heard this weekend. Although I know that this is the unsearchable riches of God and the unsearchable riches of Christ. What I've heard this weekend has so filled me that it's difficult for me to find the words. I ain't got the words. But I appreciate you folks. And I love you and I'm glad you're here. Let's read from God's Word. 2 Timothy. As I've been listening to these guys, give me just a second. Because I've been listening to these guys and you try to see how God ties it all together, and He always does. And it started off with love, and we've heard about love, and we've heard about Satan's attack on us. We've heard about God communicating with us through the stars. We've heard about grace. We've heard about love again. I got all these running around in my mind, and we even discussed the fact that spiritual warfare is outside the door. It's in the room right now. It's waiting on us. And I believe that. I believe it's there, and I believe it's real. And I believe that what we're doing here today irritates them. And it makes us a target of them more so than anybody else that's ever existed on the earth. And I believe that. And when these things happen, when things come up, really shouldn't surprise us too much. Shouldn't surprise us at all that these things happen that you don't expect. I've seen things happen at this conference that I quite honestly never thought I'd see. So I know God answers prayer. No doubt in my heart about it. So I want to close today with an admonition against what's out there against us. Okay? And Paul says it best. Paul always says it best. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, in the 7th verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But power and of love and of sound mind. He says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes when they shoot at you, they're going to hit you a little bit. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Anytime you wonder why you were chosen, remember,
You don't have to understand it. All you have to understand is that it's His will and His purpose. That's good enough for me. I'm satisfied with that fact. He's called us. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that something? Life and immortality. I don't have it now, but I'll have it someday. What you see here is going to either be manifested in glory, not my body, but me. Or I'll go to sleep in the dust and I'll wait for that call. That's all I have. I just want to say that I'm constantly amazed at the blessing that I get from being with you people. I shouldn't be, but I am. I should just know that God, I know I'm going to get blessed above more than I can take. But I'm always thankful and I'm always amazed.